Afghan taekwondo fighter Zakia Kudadadi was the first female athlete to represent her country at the Paralympics, but her journey to Tokyo took a dramatic turn as the Taliban swept to power. She was one of 50 athletes evacuated out of Kabul over the last week, an operation made possible in part thanks to former Socceroo and refugee advocate Craig Foster. He joined me a little earlier and I asked him how he feels knowing that Zakia has realised her sporting dream.
Well, I just think it's a really powerful symbol of what people can do when we come together. You know, compassionate people who are prepared to look at Zakia as a Paralympian, or indeed the women's national Afghan football team who are in, I'm delighted to say, who are in quarantine in Australia now. And hello, all my love and support to them. They'll likely be watching, and many other athletes, and of course, everyone else who had to flee persecution in Afghanistan and get to safety. I hope that, you know, having athletes and sports people like Zakia and others involved, Patricia, can be transformative in some way. You know, Australia, I think we all feel some guilt at what's happened in Afghanistan, you know, at our involvement in it, at, you know, at the way the evacuation was conducted by us and other governments, and the fact that so many are still at risk and, you know, terrified over there right now.
Craig, take us back to when you became involved in trying to get her and others out of Afghanistan. Did you think that this would be the end result?
Well, I don't think anyone knew quite what was going to happen. You know, I was asked to get involved by some former athletes in Australia working with other former athletes around the world. It was a huge group involved. And Nikki Dryden and Alison Batterson, I know, have been in the media over the past week or so. Also the Centre for Sport and Human Rights in Geneva. And basically they needed a government who was willing to, a country willing to take particularly female athletes at risk. And that's what impassioned and drove most of us, I think, in this whole saga, is that women just playing sport and of profile, like the women's national team, were going to be at extreme risk. And we believe that, you know, women's rights are fundamental, are immutable, and we simply couldn't accept that. So everyone mobilised, particularly, I have to say, in Australia. But when it came to these athletes, particularly the women's football team and the Paralympians, Alex and particularly Maurice did an extraordinary job. But, you know, I have to pay credit to this government because, and Maurice and Alex in particular, because when people around the world were creating lists of female athletes who were at risk, and the Centre for Sport and Human Rights convened a Zoom call and I jumped on it, and then I brought Zali Stegel on as well, and they said to many governments who were on that call, US, Switzerland, Germany, many, and they said, we need someone to step up here. And we said, well, we'll do it. You know, we believe that, you know, we believe so firmly in the rights of women in Australia and gender equality that we're going to do our best here. And within probably 24 hours after discussions with Maurice and Alex, we went back to them and said, you know, we have a commitment to humanitarian visas. And that triggered the ability of others to get the athletes to the airport.
Now, we know the government has committed to 3,000 spots for refugees from Afghanistan. They say that's not a ceiling, but clearly that's the kind of commitment at this stage. What sort of commitment would you like to see them make?
Well, I've put my signature, like many other Australians and high-profile Australians. Ben Quilty has done a brilliant job raising money for UNHCR and others to say that we should have a far greater humanitarian intake. We're talking about a number of at least 20,000, which I understand Canada very early and very quickly are committed to. Also that this humanitarian intake shouldn't be part of the existing number, which is only just over 15,000, which is less by about 5,000 from last year anyway. So we already have a reduced number. It should be additional. You know, as has happened in the past many times, including with Syrian refugees. So, you know, once again, I think the broader issue is really important here, Patricia. I'm hoping that having, you know, spoke up for refugees in recent years and seen the way that Australians have had them demonised in their own mind, given that we have, you know, prominent Defence Force veterans and legends coming out in support of Afghan interpreters and people who helped us and helped them, given that we have, you know, Ben and Mike Cannon-Brooks and people now raising money, and clearly we all feel some responsibility for having been involved in Afghanistan and what's transpired in the last few weeks, if not before, I'm hopeful that we can turn the narrative around here. You know, when the Afghan women's national football team, you know, walk out of quarantine in only about 9 or 10 days' time and onto Australian streets, It's going to be a big moment for the Australian sporting community because they're part of our family. And just because they play football means they're high profile and at extreme risk and they needed help. But, you know, like me and you, you know, they're no different to any other refugees. So, you know, if we can draw a straight line from these guys and from Zakia and Hossein, if indeed they end up settling here, they have many options now around the world. We'd love to have them, but we, you know, I acknowledge that the Australian government helped them get to safety at least. Hopefully we can start to draw that line and say, well, what's the difference between these guys and the others? And the difference, the answer is nothing.
That's Craig Foster, a former Socceroo and football commentator turned refugee advocate who played a pivotal role in helping dozens of people flee Kabul. This is RN Drive.